So Birkat Ariya, the Gemara in Brachos, says whenever you have a beautiful thing, you should use that to bless Hashem. But there's two tana'im, halachically, which you need in order to say the bracha. First of all, it has to be really, really beautiful, awakened within you, like, and most people, a real feeling of awe and wonderings, okay? The second is that you can't have seen this thing in 30 days. If you've seen it in your last 30 days, so then it won't awaken that same wonderment, and so you can't bless again. Okay, you got the two tana'im? So, and it goes by what most people, there's like an element of subjectivity in these laws, but also there's an element of objectively what most people see. We'll see some things are more subjective, some things are more objective. Okay, a yam is like an ocean, is considered something that always awakens wonderment. So whenever you see a yam, you're allowed to say the bracha. What bracha? What's the bracha? Osema Sebreshit. Blessed be you, Hashem, Lekenu Malcholam, who makes wonderful things.
Isn't that also Brachon Lightning?
Yes, so we'll see that that's the general blessing on beautiful things. Osema
Sebreshit. So why does thunder get its own blessing?
So Yakir points out that when you see lightning, you also say a bracha of Osema Sebreshit. Light, thunder, you have a special bracha of Shekocho Ugvuroto Maleolom, that is strength and awe fill the world, and that makes sense because when a person feels the thunder, it's supposed to awaken within him like a certain like awe, and like, you know, you get scared a little bit. And Rabbi Nachman actually writes that fixes your heart when you get scared by the thunder. Interesting. But we're using every emotion that we have as a vehicle to connect to Hashem, so even fear we're using as like a feeling of
right,
awe.
But why is only thunder like?
Why is thunder the only thing that gets that bracha of shukocho grow? Yeah. I don't know. Give me another.
Anything you could say, the rainbow.
Rainbow gets its own bracha.
I'm saying, but that would make sense for it to have like shukocho grow too.
Why? What's scary about a rainbow?
Because your memories create consequences. What happened prior?
So we have a different bracha for a rainbow. We'll get to that. But and it gets there. Thunder and lightning, they both get a bracha. You have to say it within the three-word rule. The amount of time it would take you to say Shalom Aleichem Rebbe, that's like 2 seconds. If right away you say the bracha, if you hear it and you right away say the bracha, then you're good. If you've waited, already hesitated 5 seconds, you could say a bracha without God's name, but you're not supposed to say a bracha unless it was Toch Kedei Dibor.
Do you make brachas on natural phenomenons like an earthquake or a hurricane?
Yes, you do. Thanks for clarifying. We're only talking about natural phenomenon. Anything that's man-made does not get...
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying like natural disasters. So.
Exactly. Any natural phenomenon, like an earthquake, like a shooting star, like whatever.
And so what about... So an earthquake is
that
scary.
That is a good question.
So why wouldn't you say Shikoko?
Do you say a bracha on an earthquake that might kill people? I hear that.
Most earthquakes do.
You think so? I hear that.
They're definitely not positive.
The Pnei Halacha does say you do say a bracha. I mean, the truth is even rain kills people.
Yeah, not in the same way.
In a different type of way, but you know that rain's going to cause accidents on the road and people are going to die.
Yeah, but rain also provides life.
You're right. It's a little different. You're right. It's a little different. Let's see the
last. Like a tsunami.
I'll read it inside. I'm pretty sure you do say a bracha, but I'll read it inside for you. בדרך כלל אנו נפגשים עם הטבע המסודר, השמש תורחת ושוקעת סדרה, הכוכבים נעים במסילותיהם, והכל ניצב על מכונו. Basically, normally we interact with the natural world and everything's natural. אולם לפעמים אנו נפגשים עם תופעות יוצאות דופן שמזעזעות את הנפש. Isn't the language beautiful? Sometimes we see certain things which shake our souls. עד שנראה כאילו הסדרם שטבע מבורא בעולמו אינם מחזיקים עוד מעמד. Dafka, at those times when it seems like the world is like going to crumble and everything is crazy, that's when we have to remember that it's all from Hashem. And as Chazal say, the thunder is only created in order to straighten the heart. So dafka, because I might think that it's not from Hashem, that it's like, you know, that this is scary, we have to remind yourself that even the thunder, even the earthquakes, even these crazy, scary things are also from Hashem. So dafka we have to say a bracha on those things too. There's five things which Chachamim said you have to say a bracha on. An earthquake, a shooting star, ruchot se'arot, like crazy winds, thunder, and lightning. Okay?
It's not the same bracha though, right?
No. All of those things get... All those things do get kocho gvuroto mali olam, but the lightning gets osei masebeshi.
So what bracha would you make on the tsunami? Also kocho gvuroto mali olam?
Yep.
And the hurricane?
All these things would get a kocho gvuroto mali olam. Okay? Now, if they... Generally, what comes first, lightning or thunder?
Wait, lightning doesn't get kocho gvuroto.
Lightning gets osei masebeshi. Everything else gets kocho gvuroto.
Why does it get osei masebeshi?
Why does light... I guess because lightning also has a degree of beauty. You know, a natural phenomenon which is beautiful. So, as opposed to just scary, I'm not sure. Something like that. That's a good question, but that's generally what we do. If you said it once, and then 10 minutes later there's another lightning... The same lightning storm. Do you say another bracha? Let's say you hear another lightning flash. You see another lightning flash, or you hear another thunder?
No.
No, don't say it once. However, if later in the day there's a different thunderstorm, you do say another bracha on the lightning and thunder. Yeah.
Let's say lightning, right, or thunders, and you didn't say the bracha, and you missed it right, your 3-second window. Can you say it in the next one?
Yeah.
Or you miss it?
You can say it in the next one. That's what generally I end up doing. I miss it the first time, and then you can say it.
I feel like it's tough to make the first time, yeah.
Yeah, because like you're right away. You have to know that bracha by heart. This is one of those brachas you want to memorize. Osei masabrishin and show kocho gvuroto mali olam. Okay, whatever one comes first, I think lightning comes first usually. So you'll say osei masabrishin, and then afterwards kocho gvuroto mali olam. All right. Now, in terms of beautiful things, not scary things, but beautiful things. Anything which you step onto the side of the road or you take a tiul in order to see God's wonderment, that merits an osei maase breishit. So let's say you're going on a tiul and you see a desert. In a couple of months, like a month, we're going to go on a tiul soon, and we're going to see a beautiful desert. Since your intention is to stop and to admire God's wonderful world, as long as it's a relatively big midbar and you're like amazed, you do say this bracha of osei maase breishit. On the other hand, if you're just driving on the road and it's your regular shift, you're just driving to work, you always see this midbar every day, then you wouldn't necessarily say no osei maase breishit. You have to actually stop to see it and like make a thing out of looking at it.
What about like trees? Like if you see trees every day, but then you see like particularly nice trees one day, can you make a bracha?
So if there's a particularly nice tree that's like that's really, really unique and you're blown away by it, you do also say it, osei maase breishit. Same thing with animals. Let's say you see there's two different types of times and you say a special bracha on animals, but it's not osei maase breishit, it's a different bracha. Either if it's a particularly, let's say, beautiful horse and you understand in horses. Like, it's not like, you really get it. You're a maven in horses. So then you say the bracha. Or if it's just a particularly beautiful fish or particularly beautiful bird that everyone recognizes this is like gorgeous, that also gets a special bracha. What's the bracha that you say on beautiful animals? Shekacha lo ba'olamo. Blessed are you, Hashem, that you made such beautiful things in your world. Okay? So if you see beautiful animals, beautiful fish, beautiful trees, anything like that, you say this special bracha. Got it? Everyone got that clear? Okay. Yes.
You're not allowed to be studying Torah on the road and then suddenly stop and to say, look how beautiful that tree is, right?
Comes Joe and asks the great Kasha. You know Joe's Kasha? He's a great Kasha. He says, wait a second, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that you're not supposed to be mevatel your Torah to be like, oh, what a beautiful tree. So what if you're in the bus, you're learning Torah, me and Joe have chavrutz, alright? And then we see a beautiful tree. Can you stop your shteiging in order to say the bracha of osei maase
breishit? It's like, we learn from Bikas Torah that is like, you can't involve in Torah all day. Because otherwise, like you said that's how the bracha is running.
You're pulling it all in there. So what do you think? What are we posting? Can you stop your Torah learning in order to look at the beautiful world that Hashem created?
No, I just want to die.
Not what?
Not unless you
want to
die.
Not unless you
want to
die.
No, I'm pretty sure in Gilgamesh it also says that you're supposed, like the whole chav is that you're supposed to.
Okay, so let's make Seder out of things. The truth is that there are different perspectives on this question, depending on your hashkafa. Okay? So I'll tell you two different contradictory approaches. You have the Rav Kook approach, which I will say is probably my approach, and I like this approach. I think it's a nice approach. That if you're looking at the tree just as a distraction, nothing to do with Torah, hey, it's a cool tree, what a beautiful tree, then Pirkei Avos says, what are you doing? Just learn Torah. But if, on the other hand, you're using your tree as a way of getting connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to say a bracha on the trees, then that tree is Torah. That's not a distraction from Torah, like Joe was saying, that is Torah. And so certainly you can stop learning Torah for a second to fulfill the halachas that we've been learning, and to say what a beautiful world that God created, and you could say this bracha. And even if you're not saying the bracha, probably just you're admiring Hashem's beautiful world, and that would be fine, right? In fact, I'll give you a support. The one who says this is Rav Kook. Rav Kook says if you're looking at the tree and it connects you to Hashem, then that's not Bittul Torah. I'll give you a proof for that. In before we say Kriyat Shema and talk about mitzvah to love Hashem. There's two brachas before we say Kriyat Shema. The first bracha talks about the beautiful world, and the second bracha talks about Avaraba, learning Torah. What's the connection between the beautiful world and learning Torah and the mitzvah of loving Hashem? So the Rambam writes, or it's based on the Rambam, I don't remember, that how do we come to love Hashem? Step one, look at the beautiful world. When you look at the beautiful world, then that's going to help you, inspire you to love Hashem. Step two, learn Torah. When you learn Torah, you'll realize that you'll see everything from the perspective of Torah, and you're going to also come to love Hashem. So again, based on that Rambam, you can use the world as a vehicle to get connected to Hashem through, you know, Teilim and seeing the world. That's a legitimate way of seeing the world, and that's the classic Rav Hirsch story. I'm sure you've all heard of it, right? When Rav Hirsch would travel the world, whatever, he went to the Alps, and they asked him, why are you doing that? Isn't it Bittul Torah? He says, no, when I get to Shemayim, Hashem's going to ask me, did you see my Alps? Did you see my beautiful Alps? Gewalt. And so you can connect to Hashem even through nature.
That's like another story about like a rabbi who went, you told him.
Oh, Rav Dovra told this story.
Oh, Rav Dovra told the story.
Ah, so now the other side of the story, there's, let's say, the more, I don't want to put names on things, but more right-wing perspective, which I also am a part of that world sometimes. Like, so the story of Dovra told us that the Tisha was the following. There's a big rabbi, and he went to, him and his students wanted to go see the Golden Gate Bridge. They were in San Francisco on a vacation, they wanted to see the Golden Gate Bridge, and the rabbi says, no, I don't want to see the Golden Gate Bridge, I want to go learn Gemara, I want to learn Torah. So the student said, what are you doing? You can learn Torah any day. But you want to see the Golden Gate Bridge, you can only do that today. Right? You got to see the Alps, you got to see Hashem's beautiful world. What did the rabbi respond? He says, any day I can learn Torah, but today I can learn Torah instead of going to see the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh,
so according to that perspective, it would seem, not that there's no value in seeing God's beautiful world. Of course, no one's going to deny these brachos. But there's a time and place for everything, and in general, that perspective would say that there's a time for learning Torah, and there's a time for seeing the world, but when you're learning Torah, you should learn Torah, and when you're seeing the world, okay, that's fine, but I would say there's two, let's say, different gishot. In the religious Zionist world, perhaps we stress more the first perspective, but I think they're both...
No,
I'm definitely a religious Zionist. The truth is, this is a machlokas between me and my wife, to be honest.
If we're
Zionist? No. Yeah. But we both agree that Rav Dovra was a huge Zionist. No, I'm from Brooklyn. I grew up on Stipler and Rav Moshe Feinstein and stories about how these guys never stopped learning Torah. I'm born in the yeshivish world. And so for me, I love learning Torah. So when I go on a hike with my wife, this summer we went to LA, we saw Northern California, we saw all these beautiful things. And I would go, I went on the hikes, don't get me wrong. But I would bring a sefer with me wherever I went. And I'd learn on the hike sometimes. You know? And my wife is like, what are you doing? Like, just look at the world. Look at the beautiful world. You don't need to be steiging all the time. You know, steig when we're done with the hike. And I say, I see the world. It's beautiful. Now I'm going to go back and learn Torah. I saw it. It's awesome. I love it. And we went to see the, what's it called? The Lake Tahoe. You guys ever seen Lake Tahoe?
No.
It's gorgeous. It's mamish gorgeous. Like crystal blue. It was awesome. So I went swimming in Lake Tahoe. And I saw it. It's amazing. But then I went back and learned my sefer. I was inspired and now I want to go learn. That's like my ideal. To be learning Torah in a beautiful place. Whereas my wife is a different, you know, she says no. She wants to soak it in, live in, you know, breathe it in, meditate. Gewalt. So I think they're both legit. If you ask me,
she learned Torah in the lake.
Yeah, no, I did that. I was saying Pirkei Avos. Because, like, I had my swim in the Lake Tahoe. It was amazing.
You have a waterproof Pirkei Avos? It's awesome.
I had in my head, yeah. And then, like, 10 minutes in, I got really bored, so I started memorizing Pirkei Avos. My wife is chilling and, you know, walking and just being in Hashem's world, and that's it. If you ask me. So, in any case, we'll continue Bizrat Hashem, but there's many ways to serve Hashem, also learning Torah and also through nature, as the halachas are teaching us. Shkaya.